Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
There you go. That's what we're doing. We're weaving dreams. Trying to get through.
What dream did we weave this time?
No, it's like, well, I think Brandon did. He was being crazy like a fox.
Oh, he was. He did it on purpose.
He did. And that's why he had
buyer's
remorse.
Out.
Right after he did.
Well, again, I've been trying to tell you this for a week. Sometimes you can yell and scream, and then you say, "Was I too loud there? Or did I go too far?" But the message is still the message.
No, it's that, and the fact that my dog really, right after he did it, backed off of that take as super. He didn't say he was lying. He didn't say that, but
See?
He did back off that take though.
He saved the season. I mean, that's what I saw yesterday.
If Brandon trying to get to Louisiana, just like the rest.
Nick Sirianni saved the season. Give the man his credit.
Well, I did ask him last week to make sure it doesn't unravel, and he did it. I mean, he did a good job yesterday.
You know what's funny, though, if we want to be, and I know we're not being nitpicky, but
nitpicky
I'm just...
Nitpicky on a victory
I'm
Monday?
Saying, we went from one controversy to another.
Oh, you mean Big Dom?
Yeah, you better quit. I would suggest that Coach quit rolling up on Jalen Carter.
Clint Hurt. According to Derek Gunn, Big Dom was involved in that as well and told Sirianni to back off Big Dom.
So
I mean, back off Jalen Carter.
Oh, D-Gunn, he up there starting trouble? Out there putting that mess out there on
the
internet.
He's reporting what he's hearing.
Everybody go jump on no, D-Gunn now. Go
D-Gunn
jump on
alone.
Him for reporting that
mess.
A lot
of Big Dom scoops this year.
You want more Big Dom scoops?
No, I mean, D-Gunn is, because didn't he report the Big Dom thing last season?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, a lot of Big Dom scoops.
Don't nobody say about D-Gunn being messy? So, he on there being messy all on the internet.
Yeah, he's reporting facts.
He's
so,
a mess maker.
When LeBron was at his height of popularity and like he was the story of the league, there were reporters that were assigned just to cover LeBron. Are you saying that we have that here now? Big Dom reporters, Kyle, just in Philadelphia, just following every
specific
step.
Big Dom. Yeah.
Big Dom. So here is the tweet from Derek Gunn, and he has the video there of the whole situation with
Oh, you got video.
Clint Hurt and Big Dom.
Super mess.
Yeah, and he said, "You see, defensive line coach Clint Hurt intervening between Sirianni and Carter. I'm told Big Dom stepped in and told Sirianni to stay away from Carter at that particular moment. Carter and Sirianni later hugged it out. But a big part of Big Dom's primary job is to keep the peace on the sidelines." So there you go with that. 215-592-9494. All right, your take on all this. Eagles have won 10 straight. Jalen was incredible yesterday and really answered the bell. It was his best game of the season. If Jalen Hurts plays like that, the Eagles are going to raise the Lombardi Trophy. That's it. They're the most complete team. And the one missing piece was the passing game yesterday. It was awesome. All right, we'll get to what AJ said in a few minutes here. And, you know, does WIP deserve credit for all this? I think so. Gary in Wilmington. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hey, listen, years ago, I had the privilege of going to Australia to get a multi-million dollar contract for a company I was working for. And I had a billionaire tell me something I never forgot. He said, the only thing worse than a man that don't know is a man that don't know he don't know. And I say that because when the Eagles played Tampa Bay, I was out in Vegas at the Wingate with my favorite Eagle, Eric Allen. Sorry, Hugh.
That does not bother me. I mean, I hear you, but I'm not offended.
And we were watching the game, and there were several other players there. And I noticed that everything that I got upset about when it came to Hurts, or not everything, but most of the things, they were looking at the game through completely different eyes. They saw what I didn't see. They saw Saquon miss a block. So after the Carolina game, I got on a post-game show on WIP. I got on a post-game show on the TV. And Jason Avant said, the problem with the passing, and this is before AJ said anything, was they need to get rid of the RPO. They don't run routes downfield. They got a generic offense. It's a basic offense. Go back and listen to it. It's on your own station. So when you pick up we that Hurts said, you were exactly right. Then Mike Quick comes on the radio on this station and says, it was all, you know, it's nothing. It's all radio gossip. There's no problem in the locker room. You got no choice but to trust people like that. I listen to the guys who have done it, who know it, who lived it. I can honestly say I learned a lot that I didn't know. So the guys like Jason Avant, Hugh, John Ritchie, Seth Joyner, all you guys that come on here, you probably forgot more than I ever knew about football. And I was watching the Eagles when they got Mike Quick. That's how long I've been watching it. I'm a fan. And to pretend that I'm anything else but a fan is a joke. It's just a joke. I can't argue with people that do it. That's like a plumber arguing with a doctor on how to fix a knee. It just don't work.
So, Gary, I agree and I disagree. I mean, yeah, I understand your point. Like, there are certain people who have a higher degree of knowledge of what they're seeing, especially when, like, you're breaking down film, like, they get it. But we're all just fans, Gary. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all just fans. Like, maybe the coaches have a different perspective, like the current coaches.
Yeah.
But the rest of us are all just fans watching the same game. So we could have a different perspective on the same thing. It's okay.
But as fans, we can't assume facts that are not in evidence.
Hold on. What we can do is assess what we have compared to the rest of the league. So when last week, whatever the reason, when last week the passing game could barely muster 100 yards, that's below standard. Whatever the reason for it, that was below standard, and it caused a week of consternation. Now, yesterday was above standard, and that's why we're excited.
I just got to say this, and then I'll go. I don't know if you listened to that, but did you listen to John Ritchie and Seth Joyner this morning with the hammer, actually taking them to school? Those are the things I listen to. I listen to Hugh. When Hugh is a different animal. When he disagrees with something, you hear him laughing on the mic in the background. He's laughing, and then he'll step in and he'll say, "I don't want to make anybody mad." That's the way he disagrees. Other guys are more adamant. Like,
right,
hey,
yeah. Yeah, everyone's different. Yeah, and look, the perspective of our former football players here is it's a big part of our station, of course, and they have perspective. Gary, I didn't get to hear a lot of what was said this morning as we were doing our meeting. Gary, good phone call. I didn't hear it, but I think they were disagreeing about Jalen Hurts as my guest this morning?
A little bit.
Yeah,
Seth and I look at it like this. We don't all see eye to eye all the time, but I do respect, and I think all of my former teammates respect everyone's opinion. We just see it differently. That's not to say it's right or it's wrong. And my word isn't the gospel, nor do I try to act like it is, because we all see it different.
Yep.
Me and Rhea watches every game and she charts every play. Rhea doesn't watch the game the same way that I do. That's not to say that Rhea's wrong or I'm right. That's just how you see it.
Well, of course, we all see it differently. We all pick up different. The other thing I think that came out of last week, and I don't know when this started. I don't know what everyone's very sensitive about Jalen Hurts. When you say something like he's not doing something, people mm-hmm. hear it as you don't think he can. And
well,
I never said last week he can. I'm saying so far this year, before yesterday, Hugh, the passing game had been blah, right? Middle of the pack, not great. Yesterday, it looked great.
Yeah, and part of the reason why it's like that with Jalen is because there are certain trigger words that – you know, you grow up listening to when it comes to that position. And plus being an African-American quarterback, that kind of puts people on edge. You know, and you hear it all the time. Like last week, there was a lot of pundits on television. They say it without saying it because it's always that black and white thing when it comes to that position. And I think a lot of times that some of the conversation that's being had, not the conversation that we have, because I do believe it's just strictly about football and what we see him doing as a quarterback. But there's a lot of times that people are calling and they'll disguise what they're actually trying to say by using certain key words. And I think that's where we get a little sensitive when it comes to him and the way that he's playing.
I also think there's some sensitivity here too, that the fact that the Eagles have never had an all-time great quarterback. So every time another really good young one comes around, there's like the hope this is going to be the best one, right? This is going to be, and a lot of times they show amazing flashes. Carson Wentz showed amazing flashes and then it puttered out. Jalen had 2022. So I think there's that like that like thing deep down, like it can't be happening again, right? He can't putter out
PTSD.
Again. Yeah, right. I think that's a big part of it. All I know is this. Everyone's excited today because Jalen played like that. Like, what was different yesterday? Not the defense. We've seen this for 10 weeks. It was him.
It was him because he's the one that makes it go. It begins and ends with Jalen. And yesterday, the one thing that I don't think anybody could argue with by the way Jalen was playing is he made quick decisions. He was decisive.
Accurate.
That's the word that you always hear, whether or not he's playing well or not. Decisive or indecisive. It looks like, and when people talk about it, it looks like he's holding the ball too long. It looks like he doesn't know where he wants to go. Those are all fair criticisms because yesterday was a game where you saw none of that come into play. Maybe a couple of times, but definitely not as much as it's been like that in the past.
Yeah, I guess they had a little stretch end of the first half where they kind of got bogged down on offense and the Steelers were able to get back in the game a little bit. He got sacked a few times. But besides that, the first quarter was as good of a quarter as he's played in the first quarter of the
season. Definitely can't complain.
No, he was great. And then he finished the game great as well. Anthony at Southwest Philly, and then we'll hear from A.J. Brown after the game. What's up, Anthony?
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, what's Anthony, up, what's up?
Hey, listen, I want to get two quick points in because I'm on my way to a meeting, but I want to get these in real quick because I think they're important as a caller, right? First of all, Hugh, I damn near, man, passed the hell out when you said that Nick almost got Sprewell, man, because you are absolutely
no. We, listen, Anthony, we all saw it. We all saw it, yeah. and you know, we all have that one friend that does not give a damn about any situation that is. If you rub them the wrong way, they're going to do something that's going to set us all back about 15 years. So you just let them go.
But this is the thing, Hugh, right? Like, I tell you guys all the time when I call in, I'm still a coach right now today on the other side, right, basketball. But I grew up all my life playing in locker rooms, played overseas, did a lot of things in my life with the game of basketball, right? And I'm one of those guys, I've been around guys like that, right? Like Jalen Carter, right? With Jalen Carter, that's not Nick Sirianni's job to do what he tried to do. I got one more point, but I want to make this one real quick. You need a guy from the, like, with Jalen Carter, he got some growing up to do. But with a guy like him, man, you need a guy from the neighborhood. You need a guy that, like Clint Carter. You can't, and I think Clint helped Sirianni's point because I think in a nutshell what he was telling him was, listen, in the moment right now, I don't want for you what could come on national TV. I dealt with it. Let's get behind the locker room and you can have a conversation.
Yeah, but you can't talk to everybody like that in public. You can't do it.
Right, like he liable to turn you up in your pocket. You know, so just let it go right now. I dealt with it. We'll get back here in the locker room. And that's what Clint Carter is there for. He's that guy. So, this point.
Yeah.
Is this. Joe, I think what people get frustrated with when you talk about Jalen Hurts is this, right? And I'm going to be very direct when I say this.
Okay.
Right? Most of white America, right? What white America mostly for the most part is used to seeing is Tom Brady. They're used to seeing Peyton Manning. They're used to seeing Joe Montana. Like, these guys that just play pitch and catch all game, right? And what Jalen is a very different kind of player. He's not a guy that has to do what they have to do to win games. So when I hear you talk about Jalen, I would feel better if you say he played a more complete game yesterday. Because to me, I think his best game of the season was against Baltimore. I don't think yesterday was his best game of the season because if you look at the spin cycle that he put Roquan Smith in during that game, the second first and second level reads and the read options that he was going to, they could not do anything. And these are all pro guys. And what Jalen did was he read those guys like a book, and he took away the strength of their defense in that game in ways that not a lot of quarterbacks can do. So I get what you're saying, but I think when you talk about Jalen, you have to say he played a more complete game because, yes, the passing game has been missing, but the passing game, at the end of the day, if we're winning, that's all he cares about. He knows he can pass the ball, but he's not been asked to do that. And therefore, the last point on this, four games into the season, I watched A.J. Brown on one play. You can go back and watch this on YouTube. This guy, Brian, breaks it down. Jalen threw a ball to A.J. in the right corner of the end zone, and because A.J. didn't think he was getting the ball, he stopped on the route, slowed down, and when the ball got in the air, he tried to pick back up speed, and therefore, he didn't get the ball. You get Devontae Smith in one of the games, I think it was against New Orleans or somebody, where Jalen throws the ball in the end zone, Devontae doesn't cut across.
Yeah, it was New Orleans. Yeah, there were a couple of those early that turned into interceptions, and maybe, things change. And Anthony, we appreciate the phone call, a lot of good points, and I think your perspective is interesting as a coach. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why people think I don't like Jalen. Like, I'm a Jalen Hurts fan.
I don't think you don't like him.
I think
I think you're a fan, and I go a step further. You don't use trigger words that other people tend to use. So, it's you're looking at it from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, and I think of it a couple of ways. One, and I understand what our last caller was saying, I almost separate the run element of Jalen and the pass element of Jalen. I know the run element's there every week. He's a force in the run game, and he makes plays and first downs and third downs become first downs, and obviously the tush-push stuff. I expect that every week. That's part of his game, like Steve McNair's game and Cam Newton's game. He has that. What I always look at is, can they keep doing this and win the championship?
Is it sustainable?
Right, the passing game. And I don't think games like the Ravens game, even though he did good things and he didn't turn the ball over, that to me, the way the passing game worked that day is not sustainable to win a championship. Same thing with the Panthers game. Yesterday, the way they threw to get a lead and were up, that's what I want to see. And I thought he did more of that 2 years ago when I thought he was the best player in the NFL until he got hurt that year. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from A.J. Brown after the game. He was the start of a week of a lot of stuff around here and nationally. Let's hear what he had to say after the game about those hard conversations that they talked about in that locker room.
It's easy for us to have these tough conversations to call each other out because we know what we want, what we wanted at the end, and it makes it easier when we're close. So,
is there anything that, being on the same page this week, is there anything to prepare for that? Take the next couple of games that you've got work to do?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, the long, repetitive meetings, on top of the meetings that we already have, I think there's we may keep doing that.
So, how long is
it? No, it was just a point of emphasis this week, and I think we're gonna move forward. They were pretty long. They were just added throughout our long day already. I'm not complaining about that anyway. But when you talk about something 10 times, you're like, okay, like, we got it. But it's needed though. It's needed, and who cares how long we stay in there, because we come out and we put on performance like today. So.
The funniest part of this, as I listened to them talk about these meetings they went through and how they talked, whether it was on purpose or if Brandon Graham was high or whatever, it worked. Like, this week helped them.
It was a come to Jesus moment.
It galvanized
man.
Them.
And you know what's funny? Because I'm not trying to say I told you so, but remember last year when I said they need to just get in the room and they need to air it out. It feels like that's what happened, because whether he did it on purpose or not, BG put them in an awkward situation where they were forced to deal with it. AJ started it, but then Brandon made it so that, hey, man, we got to figure this out. Because this has the potential, especially now, to be a super special season, man. It really, really does. And these players feel it. And that's why, you had to address it, because there's a potential to have people in silos, Team Jalen and Team AJ. And if it would have went bad, then everybody was like, well, yeah, AJ was right. If we'd have did this, that, and that, we could have did whatever. So now that it's out there and they're playing better, then just keep it going. And you have three teams that if you play this right and everybody's in a good space, you could really go into the playoffs with a lot of momentum.
Well, momentum.
Like scary momentum.
They haven't lost since September.
Yeah.
And if they win out here.
True story.
That is 13 straight wins heading into the playoffs. That might be good enough for the bye. I mean, there is a chance, and it becomes more real every single week, that the Eagles don't lose a game again this season. Like that they lost the game in Tampa, they went into the bye, Sirianni shaved his head, and that's it. They win every single game from October whatever through February whatever and win the Super Bowl. That's becoming realer by the second. Let's hear the next one from A.J. Brown here telling us to all pipe down.
And after the touchdown, I know you guys have done it before, but was that kind of a good way to show people like,
all right, we're good? For sure. That was our moment to tell everybody shut up, you know, honestly, you know, so yeah.
So, look, we're all having fun with this. I think it's so ironic he's telling everyone to shut up. He started the conversation.
Well, it's, you know how it is. It's you know, they're going to take it. The media's going to take it and run with it. It's us against the world, which I am okay with all of that. But in the real world, because in football, it's Fantasy Island. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it what it is. It's Fantasy Island. And people don't operate the same as they do in the world that we live in. So if that's what it takes for them to galvanize this season to get us to Louisiana, then so be it.
Is this a chess, not checkers moment? It almost feels like they created their own controversy,
yes.
Brought it to us, we talked about it, and they're like, now you guys shut up. Well, wait a second.
No, yes.
It was your thing.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly what it is, because there's no way on God's green earth that you can say anything rationally to anybody in that locker room and they will understand where we're coming from. Because to them, we made much to do about nothing.
Even though they told us about
yes.
it. That's
yes.
That's the part that makes me laugh.
Like, yeah, it is.
You guys overreacted to what? Well, the story we told you.
You made me remember something that Coach Brazier told me years ago. He said, when you retire from this game, you're gonna have trouble adjusting. And he's like, what do you mean? He said, because people don't think like football players think. And for a while, I never understood what he meant until I started trying to. Now I'm on the other side, but when I played, trying to explain stuff to people that didn't play. But now that I'm back with the gin pop, you know, now it's my job to
explain. In the real world.
Yeah, I'm back in gin pop. Now this is my job to explain to everybody else how they think, how the inmates think, the asylum, the sane asylum, whatever you want to call it.
I think it's half funny and half ridiculous, but I get it. You're saying like
no, yeah, because it's a different world, Joe. Because
yeah.
You could sit there, and you could talk to somebody, and they'll look at me because now I'm the bad guy. I'm in the media. I used to be one of them. Now you got to look at me sideways because you don't know how. Then I'm like, dog, do you know if you wouldn't have said a word,
we wouldn't have talked about it.
We would have figured out our storylines, and we would have went on about our week. You made our job. This is the reality. You made our job easy for us by running your mouth.
So here's the thing. We're going to react to the game no matter what.
Regardless.
But then we will talk also what they say. So let me take you through last week. If AJ doesn't talk after the game or says very generic things, right, like says nothing like he said, and then BG doesn't do his show. You know what we're talking about all week? Jalen, right?
Yeah, his and how play, he needs to play better.
It's about Jalen's play.
And,
but then
and
it became about the
up.
Locker room, teammate Sirianni, the
and
turmoil.
That would be backed up with stats. That would be backed up with the fact that over the last couple of weeks he didn't play well.
Yeah.
But if you throw us a bone or a carrot or whatever, we're going to eat. Just like, how about this perfect example? Just like if Coach Hurt didn't get between Coach Sirianni and Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter dragged Coach Sirianni all around. Not saying that that's going to happen, but if Jalen Carter would have gripped Sirianni up in his collar, you think we're going to ignore that? And this is the thing. Do you think anybody nationally
would ignore that? It'd be the biggest story in sports.
The fact that people on TV are talking, we ain't really talking about it like that. They talking about it nationally, though, because they saw it. Everybody got that. You ever seen Devil in a Blue Dress?
No.
Remember, I think it was Devil in a Blue Dress. It was Denzel Washington and Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle was the cousin, Mouse. And it was an episode, it was a it was a part in the movie where Don Cheadle, like Denzel Washington, asked him to watch somebody. So when he came back, he was dead. And Don and Denzel asked him, like, why'd you kill him? He said, if you didn't want him dead, why'd you leave him with me?
Your fault.
That's your fault. So that's basically that's who Jalen Carter is. Jalen Carter's mouse in this situation.
215-592-9494. Final hours to get your call in here on the Midday Show. Now winners of 10 straight games. Are the Eagles the best team in football? We'll look around the NFL at the one seed, the Eagles outlook, and all the injuries that are now piling up in a remarkable way in Detroit. It's a lot, and it could push the Eagles to being the number one overall seed. 215-592-9494. We'll react with you on the phone line. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, it's the holiday season. It's time to warm up to the comfort foods that you love. They're made even better with Hatfield pork. Yeah, everybody, I'm talking about bacon. And nothing brings holiday cheer quite like the bacon that I also love. From breakfast to appetizers to holiday dinners, bacon adds a perfect touch to the flavor that your family will love. Man, I can talk about bacon all day. So this is what you need to do. You need to visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and a retail location near you. Give the gift of flavor this holiday season with Hatfield.